It's 10 men at work, and it's a mistake to start the hour, 8:15, the full English breakfast show. Calls are growing for a bin man who was sacked for kicking the head off a child snowman to get his job back. And more than 4,000 people have signed an online petition demanding that Herefordshire Council reinstates Callum Woodhouse. Mr Woodhouse, an agency worker, was informed by the council earlier this week that he will not be used again. It came after the 19-year-old was caught on CCTV destroying a child snowman in Tupsley, Hereford, while emptying bins. The child's family complained to council chiefs and Mr Woodhouse was sacked. But some have accused the council of taking a heavy-handed approach, pointing out the snowman would melt anyway.
Yeah, I saw the video. Did you see the video of him
doing it? A petition on change.org said the man worked through the whole pandemic risking his own well-being, and that's what he gets. And for what? A pile of snow. Grow up and give the man his job back. The message continues, might you be next? If you step in a puddle, it might be that snowman's past cousin in your sacks. No income in times like this, shame on you. Another person backing the petition said, so unfair to sack him, most likely has a family to feed. And another wrote, what an utterly ridiculous overreaction to fire a man for kicking over a snowman, especially in the middle of a pandemic. Mm. They should have sort of said, well, just go around and say you're sorry and give the little girl a box of chocolates or something. That would have sorted out, wouldn't it?
Really? He has to apologise? I don't know.
Well, you don't even think he has to apologise?
Well, I don't know. I saw the video and it was... I just thought, well, he probably just did it as a bit of fun when he was on his working. He didn't like...
No, he said it was in the way. He was in the way of the bins.
Yeah, but it's not like the little kid was there and just finished it and he came along and did that deliberately.
Kung Fu kicked his head off.
Yeah, I know, but all in good humour. I don't think it was done maliciously at all and, you know...
Yeah, but a little girl spent hours, you know, putting that together.
This is true. It's a reality check.
A simple apology would have been suffice. You know, no need to sack him.
Toughen them up.
Gone around and said, I'm really sorry. Next time it snows, I'll help you build another one. And here's a curly whirly.
Today's quiz, we're going back to 2000. It was the wettest year on record in the UK. It was also the year when the introduction of services on the Croydon tram link, the first trams in London since 1952. The much anticipated Millennium Bridge across the Thames in London opened to the public but had to close after it started swaying. And actor Michael Caine received a knighthood from the Queen. It was also the year when Anne Robinson started The Weakest Link. And it was the golden age for retro mobile phones and everyone was playing Snake. In music, Coldplay released their debut album and inspired a generation. David Bowie played Glastonbury for the last time. Destiny Child conquered the charts and Kylie made a comeback. Question number one. At the Brits in 2000, Robbie Williams won Best British Single with which song?
Millennium.
No.
Rock DJ. No. Angels.
No, it was She's the One. Question number two. The best British group went to which of the following? Was it Blur, Stereophonics, Texas or Travis?
Stereophonics.
No, it was Travis. And finally, the International Breakthrough Act, presented by Kylie and Natalie Imbruglia in 2000, went to the Beastie Boys, the Cardigans, Red Hot Chili Peppers or TLC?
Breakthrough Act in 2000. So was it Cardigans, Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Or TLC?
Cardigans.
No, it was TLC.
What, with waterfalls?
Well, don't sound too enthusiastic. It was not one of your favourites.
Well, I like waterfalls. Except put water wall. don't mind this. Who's this? Sarah says, about the bin man being sacked. Not a good idea, Rob suggests. He goes around and offers the kids sweeties. He could be going from sacks to going to prison. But surely if he turns up, you know, and
just leave it. The kid just has to get over it. There are so many things that the children have
tough.
To...
God,
no,
honestly,
they do. They have to get over
you
things.
You know, you ruined a little girl's dreams.
Oh,
you know,
come off
the
it.
Magical snowman.
He can build another one.
Might not snow ever again.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
Are you okay today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. No, nothing. This could be quite interesting this morning. I watched a very good film over the weekend.
What was it?
The Big Short.
Ah, it's a wonderful film.
You've seen it? It's good, isn't it?
I've seen it many times.
Because, well, trying to get to grips with what's going on in the markets at the moment, one of the recommendations was to watch this film, The Big Short, and I'm familiar with CDOs, Henk.
Yes, collateralised debt obligations. Yes, it's the heart of the financial crisis, of course, and playing out in a different fashion at the moment. Certainly an interesting dynamic for the markets last week, this so-called battle between Main Street and Wall Street, as social media users tried to take down the hedge funds. An army of retail investors tried to squeeze those short sellers. These are people that betting shares are going to go down, particularly in stocks, including, as we know, GameStop, but also BlackBerry and AMC. The wave of money did push prices higher, but then also led to wild price swings after that. Trading platforms tried to calm tensions and protect their positions by imposing restrictions on clients purchasing many of the stocks, which in itself, as we said last week, raises many questions around fair and open trading conditions for all market participants. In terms of the impact, I think while a small number of hedge funds may face losses, more likely that many retail investors will find themselves on the wrong side of the trade when stocks fall back to their fair values. Been framed as this idea, as I say, of Main Street versus Wall Street, but in some ways it could be also viewed through the lens of a classic pump and dump scheme. So I think it's time to be very careful.
Yeah, and they turned their attention to silver this morning as well.
I know you've got a large position in
silver.
Well,
I mentioned that to you on Friday. You kind of poo-pooed me away, but there you are.
Monitor these things very carefully indeed. Listen, I think what we're likely to see is with these waves of unusual activity filtering through much higher levels of volatility, but alongside that, I think increased pressure for more regulatory oversight into market manipulation, particularly using different types of media compared to the traditional way. So,
really market manipulation? This is just a group of small investors got together and decided to take on the big boys, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not a huge amount of transparency in relation to that, has to be said. It may well, as I say, be framed in that regard. Could it well be people who know exactly what they're doing, whipping up a storm, encouraging less sophisticated investors into these stocks, into these markets, particularly with funds that they can ill afford to lose, in the hope that it's going to drive the price out. They get out first and leave those people holding the stock when the price eventually crashes. The reality is, in the short term, of course, markets can be driven in different ways. Long term, they should come back to their fair values, and that's the risk when you're investing in this type of momentum.
Okay, Goldman Sachs saying that buying and selling last week, the highest since the financial crisis of 2008. So what are the implications for overall liquidity?
Well, some of the platforms have been saying exactly that. Part of the reason why they decided to put those restrictions in place was because they couldn't meet those commitments. Their liquidity providers wouldn't guarantee them, and they couldn't clear many of the trades that some of their clients were asking them to do. So this type of unusual activity does have broader repercussions, not only for the individual stocks, but for platforms trying to deal with these types of volumes.
Certainly left a sour taste in the markets at the end of last week, but I see that the Nikkei has climbed this morning and US stock futures are up at the moment as well.
Yeah, it's a pretty miserable week for markets last week. Stocks certainly slumping. Alongside that frenzied trading activity and shorted stocks, we had dire pandemic developments, of course, cautious outlook statements coming through from central banks weighing on investors. S&P 500 fell 3.3% last week, its biggest decline since the last week of October, wiping out the year-to-date gains. Similar falls in Europe. Stock 600 lost 3.1% last week. The index is down. Was down 0.8% during the course of January. We are looking at a better start on the European bourse, however, this morning. Opening calls currently calling FTSE up 9 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 85 points. CAC in Paris up 31 points.
Yes, heard reports there was a man dressed as Robin Hood clipping hedges in Cobham over the weekend.
Yeah, these Robin Hood trading platforms is all quite exciting, isn't it? And the interesting name just adds to the sort of the mystique of the story.
Yeah, well, as somebody pointed out, that Robin Hood is ultimately owned by the Sheriff of Nottingham, so...
I like it.
OK. Ryanair, some fairly grim results on the way from them.
Perhaps no surprise, just had those results in the last hour and a half or so. Ryanair reporting a loss for its third quarter, €320 million. That compares with a profit of €87 million a year earlier. due to the disruption caused, of course, by the pandemic. Now anticipates a full year loss will be between 850 and 950 million euros, saying visibility for the fourth quarter remains limited. Of course, will be influenced by travel restrictions in the UK and Europe and the timing of the vaccine rollout and whether that discourages people from booking, particularly during the all-important summer season. In the third quarter, passenger numbers fell to 8 million from 36 million a year earlier. The load factor, which is a measure of how full the plane was, came in at 70% compared to 96% the year before. Really miserable December. Passenger count fell 83%. In terms of the outlook, the airline reiterated its lower passenger forecast for the year, coming somewhere between 26 and 30 million, with more risk to the lower end of that range. That compares to 149 million in the year before the pandemic.
And you got any bother boots in your wardrobe?
I've never worn them, to be honest with you. I always wore a nice, crisp pair of Church's, but I know you were a
DM. Even at school?
Yeah. It's all about pride.
Really?
No. Shares in bootmaker Dr. Martin surged 18% after its IPO on Friday, trading 432 pence from the original IPO price, 370 pence, valuing the company at a whopping £3.7 billion, which is more than 10 times the £300 million private equity group Primera paid for the brand back in 2014. Sales have been booming in recent years. They've risen from £160 million in 2013 to £672 million in the year to the end of March 2020. Dr. Martin sales have been resilient during the course of lockdown, helped by its e-commerce platform, which now accounts for a fifth of all sales compared to 7% just back in 2015. Good news for its senior staff. 22 members of the senior management team will share a £350 million payout.
10 hole with yellow stitching.
Is that the one to go for?
They're almost part of the school uniform when I was at school.
What, DMs to school?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, the school bully had steel toe caps in his.
Were you the school bully?
No, Nigel Marston was a horrible piece of work.
I wasn't bullied. Do you still remember him? What was his name?
Nigel Marston. He was a horrible bloke. Oh,
Should we try and find him on LinkedIn? What do you think he's doing now?
Probably working for the government.
Majesty's pleasure. Brexit negotiator.
No, I wasn't bullied at school, but you steered well clear of Nigel Martin if you knew what was good for you.
Sounds like a nasty piece of work. What was his trademark? Down the toilet?
No, he just used to just beat kids up for no reason, you know. Just one of those people in life who just goes around making everyone's life a misery anyway.
This is not a sharing session, is it, we've gone into?
No.
Perhaps we should take this offline.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 137. Euro dollar coming in at 121. 1 euro, 13 cents for your British pound this morning.
I'll be waiting for you behind the bike shed, so I'm going to kick your head in.
Charming.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang pots and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
From today, travel to non-EU countries is subject to new regulations as France attempts to avoid a third lockdown following Prime Minister Jean Castex's speech on Friday evening. Travel will only be allowed if there is a compelling reason, along with a negative PCR test. The measures do not apply to border workers. The reason must be for a personal or family nature, health grounds relating to an urgency, or professional grounds which cannot be postponed. A full list, along with documents required, is available at rivieradio.mc. It is still possible to move freely in the countries of the European area from France. This zone therefore remains open to travellers leaving France. It includes the 27 member countries of the European Union, plus Andorra, Iceland, Liechtenstein, Monaco, Norway, San Marino and the Vatican, according to the Foreign Ministry. From France, you can therefore go to Germany, Norway, Spain or Italy, whatever your reason, and without any specific proof. The government, however, indicates on its website the travel between European countries is totally and strictly not recommended until further notice. The borders to Monaco remain open and teleworking is strongly encouraged, with travel not recommended. Restaurants in the Principality remain only accessible to residents and employees of the Principality. The police will monitor the flow of people coming in and out of Monaco. Meanwhile, across the border in Italy, restrictions will be eased with the country's health minister announcing that bars and restaurants in 16 regions will reopen from today. In these areas, seated service will be allowed in bars, cafes and restaurants during the day, although from 6pm they will have to revert to delivery and takeaway. Museums will also be allowed to reopen. However, the curfew remains in effect from 10pm to 5am each night and travel between regions is still banned. The new restrictions also include a ban on commercial shopping centres in France, which exceed 20,000 square metres. The measure will mean that in the Alpes-Maritimes region, the following shopping centres will be forced to close, according to the prefect. They are Cap 3000, Nice Langoustière and TNL, the Gent Casino in Montjuïc and Carrefour on Tibes. As France attempts to avoid a third lockdown, the French government is stepping up checks on respecting the 6pm curfew. The Minister of Interior announced an increase of more than 30% on checks. Since Saturday, 600,000 checks have been carried out across France, with 60,000 fines issued. Meanwhile, traces of COVID in wastewater may be falling slightly in the Île-de-France region, but according to the latest data from the authorities in France, they're increasing in Marseille, Nice and Toulouse. The data shows that the level in the south of France continues to increase slowly and is very different to that of other areas around the country. Despite the current health situation in France, some restaurant owners are planning to open today. Several calls for civil disobedience in the face of the state of the health emergency have been launched on social networks, with restaurant owners planning to open their establishments despite the current ban. And the COVID figures released on Sunday show that France counts nearly 20,000 daily cases, with hospitalisations and admissions to intensive care on the rise. Finally, in other news, an Austrian man has left a bequest to a French village as a gesture of gratitude decades after residents took in his family during World War II. The village in southeastern France protected thousands of Jews and has a long-standing reputation for shielding people from persecution. The town's mayor says he left the village a large amount in his will without confirming a figure.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football and four games in the English Premier League on Sunday. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Mo Salah scored twice as Premier League champions Liverpool beat West Ham 3-1 at the London Stadium to move up to third in the table. Reds boss Jurgen Klopp was delighted with the Egyptian international's performance.
Of course, most importantly, they score, but he was in a game, really in a game, physically there and all that stuff. Defensively, my moment of the game was when he had his header in his own box. So these situations are really important.
Leicester City's recent good run of form came to an abrupt halt as the Foxes were beaten 3-1 at home by Leeds United. Their striker Patrick Bamford scored one and made the other two and said after the match that he never doubted he could be a success at Premier League level.
The last time I was in the Premier League, I just felt that I never really got a fair crack at the whip. I agree my game has come on a lot since that time, but I've always believed in myself, and it was just about showing that if I want to be one of the top players in the league and up there with the top scorers, then consistency is key.
New Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel got his first win in charge of the club. Cesar Azpilicueta and Marcos Alonso got the goals as the Blues beat Burnley at the Bridge. But former PSG boss Tuchel was particularly pleased with the defensive performance from his side.
I think we only conceded one shot in the very last minute, 94th minute, and that says everything. They play a lot of long balls, so it's very, very physical. And the back three and the 2-6 were outstanding in this matter.
In the late game, Brighton moved 7 points clear of the relegation zone with a 1-0 win over Spurs. Belgian international Leandro Trossard with the only goal of the game. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
So we'll be playing catch up with Manchester City now. City top with 44 points. They've got a game in hand on everyone else as well. Manchester United 41, Liverpool 40, Leicester 39, and there's West Ham in fifth on 35, Tottenham 6th and Chelsea 7th. Formula One, the French driver Pierre Gasly has tested positive for coronavirus, becoming the sixth driver in the sport to contract COVID-19. The AlphaTauri driver says he's feeling okay and will continue to follow his training programme while isolating at home. The 24-year-old said he'd informed all of his recent contacts. Rugby union, there were two games in the Gallagher Premiership in England on Sunday. London Irish beat Newcastle 31-22 and Harlequins were 49-17 winners at Wasps. And in golf, Paul Casey's won the Dubai Desert Classic with a four-stroke victory. The Englishman finished on 17 under par to secure his 15th European Tour title. Brandon Stone of South Africa ended second on 13 under with Robert McIntyre in third on 12 under. And Patrick Reed of the United States has won the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines, California. Reed, who benefited from a controversial free drop on Saturday, ended on 14 under par, five shots clear of a cluster of players, including Xander Schauffele and Tony Finau. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Alabama Sea in the Bar. The general situation is a depression 995 millibars over the Tyrrhenian Sea. Now, winds are variable, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 996 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 4 to 6, the sea is moderate, visibility is good, barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 995 millibars, and the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas, and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Partially cloudy today with a moderate to strong westerly wind across the Vaal. Top temperature 15 degrees. Overnight lows 8 degrees with partially cloudy skies. Tuesday and Wednesday partially cloudy, highs of 14 to 16 degrees. Finally.
A study has shown that when a man's manhood is threatened, some men respond aggressively, and it's those who have a fragile sense of masculinity who are most likely to do so. The two studies show that younger men whose sense of masculinity depends on other people's opinions are among the most triggered when their manliness is under threat. The team found that the more social pressure a man feels to be masculine, the more aggressive he may be, and it's due to a need to live up to the strict gender norms. For men with a more fragile sense of masculinity that relied on others' opinions, that group included men who said they behaved like a man due to social pressures such as a desire to fit in, to be liked or to get dates. Men with a more fragile sense of masculinity responded to the word fragments by creating words with violent associations rather than neutral meanings. For example, when provided with the letters KI and asked to complete the word, what would you write?
King.
King? Okay, well, yes, many wrote kill rather than kiss.
Could see that coming.
When given the letters BLO?
Not going there, sorry.
Well, they wrote blood.
Did they?
Instead of words such as bow or broom. You're now up to date.
Oh, dear. The news is on the website, riviaradio.mc. It's a bit early for that kind of thing, isn't it?